Let's go to the lines. John, you've been waiting a long time. How about that turkey in the straw, John?
Someone tell me if you want to get a tune out of your head to hum happy birthday. I'm trying to do that right
now. Hey, come on.
Right on. You got a question for Tim.
Yes, but before I do that, I want to tell Tim that I had the privilege of meeting him and talking to him for the first time about 3 years ago over at Crystal Pier during that kids' tournament with Captain Ron. Uh-huh.
All right, okay, and, John.
Yeah, and, you know, I really, you really showed me something when you weren't afraid to get your hands dirty and get down on your knees and cut up squid for those kids. You know, that was a privileged guest, and you're down to getting your hands dirty doing grunt work. That was pretty cool.
Well, I'm still a fisherman, so
yeah,
you're used to getting your hands dirty.
Man, yeah. That's what it's all about. That's when you feel normal or feel like you're in the right spot.
That's right.
Yeah. But anyway, my question was, I was wondering if you wouldn't mind going through your history with the sport fishing fleet, you know, boats you've worked on, boats you've owned. I know that you bought my friend Bill Silva's dad's boat back in the day, the Malahini, and when it was in pretty bad shape. But can you kind of go over your history in the fleet there?
Yeah, well, I owned the Malahini for about 6 years, and I did bring it quite a ways. Repowered it, new decks, new rails. I mean, we did a lot to that boat.
Manny Silva ran that boat for...
Manny Silva owned it and ran it forever, forever and ever.
Yeah.
Yes. And I was really proud to have owned it after that. Manny walked up the deck, or up the dock one day when we had the whole deck tore off of it, and looked down into that hole, and he says, "Oh, God, Timmy, I'm glad you're doing this."
Yeah, I'll bet he was.
But anyway, I had the Fisherman 3 before that. I started working on the Fisherman 3 in 1986, I believe it was. Bought it in 1989 and had it up until the time that I sold the Malahini and the Fisherman 3 at the same time and bought the Premier, and that was 4.5 years ago. Wow. But H&M Landing, I've been at H&M since the 70s. I ran a boat called the Del Mar, which is the first boat I ever ran. It was a half-day boat at H&M. Did a few of their one-day boats and on to their long-range boat, which is the Finalista 100 at the time.
Remember that boat?
And, even before that, I mean, I've been in this industry since I was 14 years old. So I started in Newport, worked for Spike Taft for 8 or 9, 10 years or something like that.
That was an education.
That was. Well, I'll tell you what, that man taught me a lot about the industry, the fishing, the boats. He was a very, very good boatman.
The apples didn't fall far from the tree with Chuck and Bobby. Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But that's where I came from. I moved to San Diego in 1970. That's when I graduated from high school. And I came down and I worked for Frank Lopresti. At that time, Frank was from Newport also. In fact, Frank was a second operator on the Patrician that Spike owned and ran, and I was a deckhand at that time. Me and Bobby Taft were the deckhands at that time. So there is a history there.
There's a crew.
Remember, the Patrician, when it came to San Diego, would tie up about three boats down from the qualifier where, you know, when I was on the qualifier from 76 on, so... But the Patrician would tie up between like the Prano and the Prowler, or just on the other side of the Prowler when he was there in the summertime. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's after you guys were off of it.
Yeah, that was after Spike sold it at that time. He went commercial fishing, and I went commercial fishing with Spike after that on the Ancient Mariner.
Yeah, the Sea Venture after that?
When we were on the New Loan, Spike had the Sea Venture on at Point Loma.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
That was a really nice boat,
too. That was a
really
sweet boat.
Beautiful charter boat.
Big boat.
Chuck had the Sea Spray over at H&M, and that was later probably.
That was much later,
much later than that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'd worked on the Vagabond for a while, talking about Mike Lackey and his big tuna. I worked on that boat with Dave McIntyre. John probably remembers Dave.
I remember Dave McIntyre.
Big Dave. He reminded me of Hoss from the Bonanza movies, man.
And when he got off of there, he went on the executive. Right?
Yep.
Yeah,
exactly.
He started running the executive. Yeah.
Gary Lamont was running the port. You know, rest his soul. He had that Fish and Fool.
He bought that from Nick.
Yeah. Yep. Fish and Fool. Yeah. That's
how long did you run long range boats?
I ran a boat for about a year. I worked on it with Mike Keating. He was running the Finalista when I first got on there.
What year was that?
Oh, John, come on now. That was right. That was right after I got married, right before I had a child. So it was like 1980, 81.
In 80?
Mm-hmm. Something like that, 79, 80, 81, and right in that era.
There's some history, man. There's some good history. I didn't realize you only had the premiere for, seems like you had the premiere for a little longer than 4.5, but it's just been 4.5. Huh?
Yeah.
I'll be darned. John, how's that for some history, man?
Always love hearing history from the legends there, you know.
You betcha, buddy. You betcha. You got it. You got anything else, John, or you?
No, that was it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thank you.
I remember the Finalista going. I started running the qualifier in 79, maybe 78. I ran one-day trips in 78, but I ran a first 15-day trip in 79. It was the first long-range trip I ran, and Don pulled me off boat work one day and said, come on, I want to take you to lunch. And he goes, you're going to run the trip. And I said, what trip? He said, the next trip. I go, it's a 15-day trip. He goes, exactly.
This is Don Sassel.
That was my first long-range trip I ever ran. I was 19 years old. I ran a 15-day trip. Never been to Hurricane Bank, and I dead reckoned that place from Clarion Island at 19. I was a nervous wreck, dude. And you know who talked me into going was Josie Silva from – he was on the Joanne. He said, no problem, Johnny. But he did. He told me how to find that bank – with my sub, you know, we had a 1,000-fathom submarine pinger.
Before we had GPS.
Oh, that's what I said. I dead reckoned the place with a compass. But he told anywhere 8 miles or less northwest of the place, you're in less than 1,000 fathoms. So I shot for above it, and I got in less than 1,000 fathoms, just started zigzagging down to the southeast, and a guy in the mast seen about a 100-ton breezer on top of the thing, you know, a mile away, and that's how we found the bank. But we dead reckoned 187. I'd never been to Hurricane Bank before in my life. I'm 19 years old, and I take off from Clarion and go out there and found the place.
That's pretty amazing. That's how we actually found a lot of fishing spots back in those days, was seeing bird schools, you know,
absolutely.
Krill or red crabs on the, you know, on the banks,
right.
On tops of the banks.
Right, you
and
knew
stuff,
you were getting closer. So if your senses were firing on all cylinders when you were running a boat,
you
bank,
had to. You had to. You know, the 23 and some of the places up on the banks, you know, I mean, those places were hard to find.
To get to the 13, or the Uncle Sam, leaving Cedrus, you had to go across the 31 and take off from the 31, because that was basically your last good radar shot off of Hippolito, was going across the bank at the 31, and then you'd dead reckon that next 90 miles to find the 13, you know, and there was a couple of bumps at 105 above it, which is about 2 hours above it. If you got in that 105 fathoms of water right there, you were pretty confident we're gonna hit it somewhere, and you're right, it was all bird schools and life and stuff like that. So
a couple of old school guys talking about some old school techniques here.
It's just
cool.
A shame now. You see these yachts, and they're sitting on the back deck with a martini, and they roll right up on the shallows, and you think, you know how hard I worked back then? And not me. Guys like Don and Bill. But, you know, I mean, I got taught by Don. There wasn't anybody better finding spots by, you know,
Don Sansom for folks out there.
You know, and everybody learned from somebody else, but I learned from Don, and he was a great teacher. And
Steve was pretty good.
Steve Loomis.
Yeah, a lot of them. But that's how I learned, was like you learned, using your meter and your compass and looking for signs.
Charts.
Yeah.